I love good music. Love good music. Reminds me of David when he played before Saul in order to give him peace. Amen. And some music brings nothing but confusion, you know, and that's some of the jumping and jiving that goes on in some churches. Amen. When we're trying to bring peace. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Well, it's good to be here this morning. Thank you for having me. Would you turn with me, please, to the book of Mark, chapter number 6. Mark, chapter number 6. This morning, I'd like to bring a message. I hope and pray to be a blessing. That's the goal of preaching the Word, sharing the Word, whatever we're doing, is to be a blessing to God's people, amen. That doesn't always mean telling everybody what they want to hear. That's not always a blessing, amen. Sometimes we need to hear what we don't want to hear. There are churches that are filled, packed out. In fact, they have to have more services than one because the preacher basically just tells them what they want to hear sometimes. People love that. People love that. They go to a church where they hear what God wants them to hear, and they don't kind of like it a lot of times. Amen. And that's the sad truth, but that's the day we're in. The Bible says that during the end times that men are not going to endure sound doctrine. You know, not everybody's wanting to hear exactly what God has to say. We're living in a day and we're living in an age where society's proving that it doesn't want to hear the things of the Lord. Amen. When you start to legalize homosexuality, abortion, and everything else, you know people don't want to hear what God has to say. Amen. But thank God for a group of people to get together that want to hear what God has to say. Amen. And by the way, that's not always a big group. You know, in the book of Malachi, it was during a time period when the whole nation was apostate, and God spoke about those few that gathered together and honored Him and spoke about Him. And He said, I'm going to put them in a book of remembrance. I'm going to remember them. Amen. So, you know, the faithful groups gathering is what we need. Too many churches are out to make business out of God's work, if you will. And it's a matter of getting as many in and as much in as you possibly can. That's not ministry. Ministry's getting the Word of God. For ourselves as ministers, we get it first. By the way, if you don't like what you're hearing, times it by 10, you know what I mean? Because most of the time we're dwelling on these things and we're hearing them over and over as we're preparing them, amen? But the fact of the matter is we need to hear what God has to say. And that's the most important thing, amen? And I pray that God will speak to us today. You know, when God don't speak to you, that's not a good thing. When the Lord shut up for 400 years and didn't speak to the nation of Israel, that's not good. Not good at all. And so even if God speaks to you something you don't want to hear, you know, thank God He spoke to you. Amen. And so that's important. Amen. But anyway, Mark chapter 6, if you would, please. And I want you to look at verse number 1, if you would. Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 1. I'm going to take my coat off. Although it feels wonderful, amen, in here. Mark chapter 6, verse number 1. I want you to look with me, please. I want to speak a little bit this morning on being a disciple or a follower of Jesus Christ. By the way, that's what a disciple is. A disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I want to talk to you about being a disciple or being a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, by the way, you can be saved and not a disciple. You can have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. You can have a guarantee of heaven. If you were to die or if Jesus were to come, you would go with Him. But that doesn't guarantee that you're a disciple or a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so I'm not here, primarily the message is for those that are already saved. And by the way, that's okay because the church is those that are saved. Now we understand that there are unsaved that come among us and by the grace of God we try every time we preach to get the gospel message to them, amen? But primarily it's God's people who need to be spoken to, especially on the Lord's Day, amen? And so I want to challenge our hearts today on not just being saved, but being a follower, being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I found a verse as I was reading the scriptures that I think probably lays out the thought of a disciple plain and simple. And that's what I want you to see. Mark chapter number 6, would you look at verse number 1? I want you to note this, if you would, please. The Bible says, and he went out from thence, and it's referring to Jesus Christ, and he went out from thence and came into his own country. And would you look at the last statement in the verse? And his disciples follow him. I don't know if you can find another verse that really lays it out plain and simple. His disciples follow him. Amen? And that's exactly what we, you and I need to be. Amen. Being saved is one thing. Being a follower, a disciple, is another thing. Amen. And that's what I want to try to stress today. What I'd like to do just for a few moments is this. I want to talk to you about how the Lord Jesus describes His disciples. Now, we could probably take a census and we could say, hey, what do you think, by way of description, a disciple of Jesus would be? And we could all come up with a lot of Bible definitions or Bible examples and illustrations. Well, I think a disciple can be described here. I think a disciple can be described and so on. But I think the best person to describe His disciples would be Jesus. Amen? Don't you think so? And so if I were to put a test out there, if you would, if I were to come in here this morning and give everybody a piece of paper that had four squares with four questions, we'd find out, you know, which ones you could check off. That would be a test of discipleship. And so let's look at four different places in the Bible where the Lord Jesus uses the term, my disciples. Because what the Lord Jesus does in four different areas in the New Testament, in the Gospels, there's four different areas where the Lord Jesus Christ describes His disciples by using that very statement, my disciples. Amen? Would you look with me, please? Let's first turn to Luke chapter number 14, if you would. Luke chapter number 14. Luke chapter number 14. I took the four different areas where the Lord uses that phrase, my disciple, looked at the text, studied the text, and I just came up with four different thoughts by way of challenging us to be the kind of disciple that Jesus says is His disciple. Amen? You know, we all got our own opinions. We all got our own minds. In fact, that's the biggest problem, isn't it? Somebody help me on that one? Beside the preacher's wife and the preacher, amen? We all got our own minds. And by the way, that's where we get into trouble. You remember when God told King Saul to go and to kill the Amalekites and everything that was with them? And you remember how he did not do that? Do you know what he said? I thought. Many times in the Bible when people did their own thing and the Lord said, why'd you do that? The whole thing was, well, I thought. The problem is there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Our thinking sometimes is the problem. Our ways and our thoughts are not like God's ways and His thoughts. That's why we got to be more in the book. Those who close the Bible come up with all kinds of ideas. And if you don't open up the Bible, you'll never know how wrong you are sometimes. Amen? And so that's important. Look at Luke chapter number 14. Number one, I want you to get this if you would please. The Lord Jesus describes His disciples, number one, as a sacrificial people. The Lord Jesus describes His disciples, number one, as a sacrificial people. And I want you to look with me, please, Luke chapter number 14, and let's begin in verse number 25. Luke chapter 14, verse number 25. The Bible says this in Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse number 25. And there went great multitudes with Him, and He turned and said unto them. Now look at verse 25. How about that? You got the Lord Jesus is walking and you got great crowds following Him. And the Lord Jesus stopped and He turned around and He looked at the great crowd that was following Him. Now I'll be honest with you. This is not every message that a preacher would say to big crowds following them. Most preachers would look at the big crowds following them and say, wow, that's great and wonderful. It's good for me. And they probably wouldn't say the things the Lord Jesus is about ready to say. But look at verse number 26. See, the great crowds is not, look, that's what people do. That's the emphasis of people. How many, how much. But that's not the Lord. By the way, when this preacher stands before the Lord one day, it's not going to be what size ministry did you have. It's going to be what sort of ministry did you have. Amen. The size ain't the issue. In fact, you want to read the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3, the Lord Jesus went to seven different churches, spoke to seven different churches. And I believe that one of the biggest churches was the church that said, we're rich, we have need of nothing, and we got it made, and we got it all. And you know what the Lord said? You're poor, and you're blind, and you're naked, and you really don't have anything. And you know there was a church, it was called the Church of the Open Door in Philadelphia. That's not Pennsylvania neither. But anyway, you'll get that. In the Church of Philadelphia, in the book of Revelation, I believe it was the smallest church because He said you have little power. Now, you have little strength. He said, but I'm going to tell you something. You're little, you're small, but you're doing what you can. I'm going to put an open door before you. I'm going to give you opportunities and so on. Amen? And so, and by the way, that church didn't receive not one scathing rebuke from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We get everything mixed up, don't we? By the way, what are the major prophets in the Bible? They're the books that are biggest. What are the minor prophets in the Bible? They're the books that are smallest. Does the Lord call them major, minor? No. Who gave him that definition? We did. By the way, you know what we do to preachers? That's a major preacher. Why? Because he's got a big ministry. And then we say, well, this guy here, he's got a small, he's a minor. No, no, no. We put labels to things God don't. Amen. You better believe it. Every prophet was important. The one who wrote one chapter was as important as the one who wrote most chapters. By the way, Isaiah was writing most of a book, and then Micah was writing a little bit, and Amos was writing a little bit, and they were sent to different peoples to do different things. They're not supposed to be the same. Amen? Anyway, look at Luke chapter number 14, look at verse number 26. So the Lord Jesus turns to this big crowd, and look what he says to the big crowd, verse number 26. If any man, hold on a minute, he's facing the crowd, but he's speaking to individuals. Think about that. It's like the preacher. The preacher may face the crowd, but God is speaking to individuals. In fact, that's why, let him that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Don't worry about what somebody else is getting. Worry about what you're getting. Don't think, well, so-and-so could use this. No, think about what I can use. Amen. Look at verse number 26, if you will. If any man come to me, that's the essence of being his disciple, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, get the next statement, he cannot be, here it is, my disciple. Look at verse 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. Look at, skip down to verse number 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Within this context, the Lord said, listen, before you become a disciple, you need to take a moment and think about paying the price. The person who builds a tower, before he starts building, first he sits down and he thinks, do I have what it takes? Am I ready to give it all to do it all? Amen? And then the battling the same way. The fact of the matter, the Lord Jesus turned to a great big crowd. He knew that that big crowd wasn't his disciples within it. He knew there were individuals within that that needed to understand what true discipleship means. It means you have to be ready. And by the way, when the Lord says hate your family, we know that's not an emotional thing. We're not talking about emotionally hate your family. And when he said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated, we know the Lord wasn't saying emotionally. It's got to do with choosing. That's all that it's got to do with. The term hating and loving within that context is choosing. If you can't choose me over your family, you can't follow me. That's what he's saying. If you can't choose me over your family, you can't follow me. By the way, he's speaking to a people in this context that you and I probably wouldn't even understand their situation. When they chose to follow him, they lost everything. When a Jewish person lost everything, when they got converted, when they went over to Christ, they have funerals for them nowadays. You're dead to the family. By the way, within the economy of the Jewish people, when you were out of the family, you're out of the synagogue. You're out of any kind of businesses. You pretty much had to lose it all in order to follow Jesus. We don't understand what that means where we are, do we? Amen? But the fact of the matter is, the Lord Jesus said, if you are not willing to love me and to choose me above your own family, and then he actually boils it down to this, even your own life. If you can't choose me above you, you will not follow me. You know what that tells me? That tells me we have to be a sacrificial people if we are going to follow him. Why? I have to sacrifice what I want for what he wants. I have to sacrifice my will for his will. Amen. In fact, he says, if you'll note again, please, in verse number 27, whosoever doth not bear his cross. By the way, you know what the cross is a symbol of? Get this now. Many times people say, well, that's a symbol of suffering. No, it's not. Although there is suffering in that cross, it's really a symbol of death. It's a symbol of death. The Lord Jesus Christ became a man. We read in Philippians chapter number 2, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in him who became a man, who became a servant, who became obedient, even unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, a cross is death. I have to take up my cross. I have to die daily, Paul said. And by the way, it's a daily thing. I may die today and live for Jesus and be everything he wants me to be. Guess what? I got to die tomorrow too. You know why? Because usually I wake up in the morning.
That's why I don't like people waking me up in the morning, because they don't meet Jesus, they meet me. And that may not be, amen? Isn't that the truth? If you want to follow me, Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you have to be a sacrificial people. You have to be, by the way, let me say it this way, a sacrifice. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present or give or yield your bodies a living sacrifice. Here am I, Lord. What wilt thou have me to do? Amen. In fact, turn, if you would, please, to Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew chapter number 16. The Lord, by the way, this is his description, not mine. Don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you what he says. Amen? You cannot follow me if you're going to love your family more than me. You cannot follow me if you're going to love your own life more than me. Why is it that so many Christians aren't following the Lord today? Because they're doing their own thing. If we are going to do our own thing, or we'll do his thing. By the way, that's the battle every day, isn't it? And it's not only a matter of going to church. It's also a matter of saying something we shouldn't say. Amen. It's also a matter of getting mad at somebody we shouldn't be getting mad at. Amen. I want you to know, please, Matthew chapter number 16, would you look at verse number 24 and 25? Matthew 16, 24 and 25. The Bible says this, then said Jesus unto his disciples, watch this, if any man will come after me, again, that's follow him, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Verse 25, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. That's the essence of being disciple, losing my life, but yet losing my life, he says, I'm really going to find it. Amen? So many are holding back on God. They're saved, but they don't want to surrender. They don't want to throw in the towel and say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Amen? And they're saving their life, so they think, but yet in the process of keeping it from God, we're losing it. Amen? In his hands, it's always better. Amen? No doubt about that. Let me give you a couple examples. Look at Matthew chapter number 4. Let me show you an example of what this means. To be a follower of Jesus Christ. Listen, Peter was saved before he became a disciple. I believe Peter was saved before he became a disciple, before he became a follower of Jesus Christ. Look at Matthew chapter number 4, please. And let's look and see how it works. Matthew chapter 4, if you wouldn't. And let's look at verse number 18 to 22. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 18 to 22. The Bible says this, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Look at verse 19. And he said unto them, here it is, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Verse number 20, here's what they did, and this is what we need to learn. And they straightway, which means immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Look at verse 21. And going from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, verse number 22, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. As the Lord Jesus went to these who were believers already, he said, hey, follow me. They left their nets. They left what they were doing in order to do what he wanted them to do. And then he went to another set of brothers, and they didn't just leave their nets, but they had to actually leave their father as well. Amen? If he called, by the way, I understand there's a difference between being called into full-time ministry. You understand that? And leaving your job to do whatever. But the fact is, we all need to be full-time Christians. Amen? Full-time ministry, some are called to. Full-time Christianity, we're all called to. Amen? But they immediately followed him. One of the first things Paul said in Acts 9 when he saw the light, if you will, when he got saved, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? See, the Lord Jesus, or Paul, I should say, recognized that the Lord Jesus was Adonai, the master of the universe, the owner, if you will. And he said, what wilt thou have me to do? Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter number 9. There's a lot of saved people that are not disciples. A lot of saved people that don't follow Jesus. Amen? And I pray that if you're here this morning, you're saved, and you've never really started to follow the Lord, and start to live for the Lord, that maybe today would be a day that you would hear the Lord Jesus say to you, follow me. Follow me. Amen. I want you to look with me, please, at Luke chapter number 9. And let me just say this in Luke chapter 9. We'll begin in verse number 57. Luke 9 and verse number 57. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ describes his disciples as a sacrificial people. And by the way, those of us that are following the Lord and are trying to follow the Lord, we still have to learn sacrifices all along the way. Amen? It's never over. But let me give you this thought. When it comes to being a disciple of Jesus Christ, our biggest hindrance is ourselves. Our biggest hindrance is ourselves. Amen? Look at Luke 9, look at verse number 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. That sounds good, doesn't it? By the way, it sounds like a lot of people. I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to go where God wants me to be. I want to live for the Lord. I want to, Lord, I want to. And I don't doubt their sincerity, but watch verse number 58. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You know what basically Jesus is saying? You want to follow me? Let me throw this thought in there. There's a cost. There's a cost. There's a lot of people that are trying to persuade people and suck people into doing things. Amen. But the fact of the matter is we need to tell people there's a cost. Amen. Not easy. Now look at verse number 59. I'm sorry, verse number 60. No, 59. And he said unto another, follow me. So the Lord Jesus says to somebody else, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now some people think, wow, this man wanted to go to the funeral of his father. That's not necessarily what he wanted to do. His father could have been alive for a few more years. He wanted to kind of wait till his father passed away before he would follow Jesus. Here's what Jesus said in verse number 60. Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom. The Lord Jesus was calling this man to go preach the kingdom. And this man said, well, Lord, hold on. Let me first bury my father. Maybe he's up in years. Maybe he's got a little more time to go. Let me first deal with this issue. Then I'll follow you. By the way, that's our excuses a lot of times. I want to do what God wants me to do, but I have to first. You know how many people are right now not here because they got to get something situated first. You know, my father-in-law's pastor in Philadelphia. And you know what he's heard too often when I get around to it? You know what somebody did? Somebody actually came up with round to it. Little pieces. It's round and it says to it on there. So he gives it to him. He said, here, you got a round to it. Now you can come. You know how many people, well, preacher, when we get our marriage together, we'll be out. Right now we're just having, well, right now I'm on drugs and right now I got some alcohol. And once we get it, no, you're never going to come. You don't get it together to come. You come to get it together. You bring that marriage the way it is and let God do something. When the Lord Jesus went into the temple or a synagogue and that woman was bent over for 18 years and she couldn't in no wise straighten herself out. If she'd have said, Lord, I'll come to you when I straighten myself out, it ain't happening. You know what he said? He said, come here. You know, he didn't tell her straighten up and come here. He said, come to me. And she came to him crooked. He touched her and straightened her out. Just as I am. Amen. But too many people are not here because they're getting it together on their own somewhere. But watch this. Look at verse number 61. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. Everybody said, I want to follow you, but by the way, get the statement. Watch this. I want you to see something. Look at verse 59. Look at verse 59. I want you to see this. And he said unto another, follow me, but he said, Lord, suffer. What's the next two words? Me first. Look at verse number 61. Lord, I'll follow thee, but let, what's the next word? Me first. There it is. There's one of the problems why we can't follow him. Me first. Me first. I will do everything God wants me. I got a heart for God. I really want, but me first got to do this. Boy, that's the devil's tactic. Me first. How many are in hell because they had to get something together first? They don't realize that. Amen. Let me make a statement before I give you the next point. Being saved cost us absolutely nothing. If you're not saved in here, what I'm preaching, it's not for you. But this is. Being saved cost us absolutely nothing. Why? Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe when it comes to salvation. When it comes to salvation, the only thing I can do is sit down because there's nothing I can do. When it comes to salvation, Jesus did it all, paid it all. It is full, tetelestai, paid in full. When it comes to salvation, it's free. Being saved cost us absolutely nothing. But living saved cost us everything. Being saved cost me nothing. Jesus paid it. But living saved, that's discipleship. Living saved, that cost me everything. Amen? But because of the price, too many people don't want to pay it. Most of us aren't what we ought to be because we don't want to pay the price to be it. Amen? Number one, the Lord Jesus describes His disciples as a sacrificial people. Let me give you a second thought. Turn to John, if you would, chapter number 8. I'm going to have to go quickly on this. John chapter number 8, if you would, please. A test of discipleship. John chapter number 8. And I want you to look with me, please, if you would, in verse number 30. John chapter 8 and verse number 30. The Lord Jesus described His disciples, number one, as a sacrificial people. Number two, the Lord Jesus describes His disciples as a biblical people. Biblical people. Look at John 8, verse number 30. As He spake these words, many believed on Him. That's salvation, by the way. And then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, get this, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. His disciples, He says, are a biblical people. Amen? By the way, that's what a disciple is. It's somebody who follows Him. By the way, you can't follow Him if you can't hear Him. You can't follow Him if you can't hear Him. We live in a dark world as Christians. And we have to be told which way to go. There's a voice that God uses to speak to us. This is the way, walk ye in it. Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous seas. Amen? We don't know. We can't see. We don't understand. We need the voice of God to guide us and direct us in which way to go. In fact, turn to John chapter number 10. We're right in the neighborhood. John chapter number 10. I want you to look with me, please, in John 10. Look at verses 1 to 5. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not in by the door up into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, is the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. Why? For they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Skip down to verse 27, if you would. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm not a disciple of David Koresh. I'm not a disciple of Jim Jones. You see, if those people were disciples of the Lord Jesus, they would have never followed the voice of a stranger to their own death. Amen. It doesn't matter what person is leading. In the preacher's voice, I want to hear God's voice. Amen. Why? Because that's what God wants to do. He wants to speak the word through the preacher, but He don't want you to have a closed book and just simply do what somebody says. He wants you to follow along and make sure you're hearing what needs to be heard. You say, where do you get that from? I get it from the book of Acts, chapter number 17. When Paul went to Berea and he spoke to those people, they had ready minds and they would search the scriptures to make sure the things they heard were so. Nothing wrong with it. We'd have better Christians if we had more Christians checking out what's being preached and taught. We don't follow the voice of a man. We follow the voice of Him. We respect and honor the voice of the preacher, but we're listening for the voice of God within it. Amen. We don't want to go astray. Paul said this, follow me as I follow the Lord. Amen. Follow me as I follow the Lord. If we would be disciples indeed, not just in word, we must know the voice of God in order that we might follow it. I'm afraid that too many people are being destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, but hold fast that which is right. Prove, test, try all things, but hold fast what's right. Amen? In 1 John 4:1, try the Spirit. Many spirits were going through teachers teaching things which contrary to the Word of God. And they were to try the spirits, amen? Especially if a spirit, a teacher was teaching something about Jesus not being God in the flesh, was to be rejected. Amen? Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly divided in the word of truth. Amen? But see, Jesus said, my disciples, they're a sacrificial people. My disciples are a biblical people. Too many people are following men. Get this. When the man stops following, they stop following. Even a good man, not that he stops following for a bad reason, but when good men move away, well, listen, if a church is built on a man, it's in trouble. Yeah. Jesus said, I will build my church. And I'm afraid too many people are just simply mesmerized and following a man, and then when that man moves out of the way, they go on in life or whatever it is, they don't know what to do. Yeah. My nephew lives in Delaware. I live in Philadelphia. And a few times we drove to his house. He's 18 years old. At the time, he was 17. And one time I had to drive him home, and I didn't know how to get there exactly. And I said, you know, so-and-so. I said, you know, do you know how to get him? No. No. He was in, every time he went, be it with somebody else or his parents, he was just in for the ride. He never paid attention to which way he needed to go. See, when his parents now would give him a vehicle, what he's going to have to do? He's going to now have to start. I'm afraid too many people come to church, sit in just for the ride, never get what God has for them. Just sit in for the ride. And when it comes down to, hey, what do I do here? Hey, what do I do? They're the ones that say, well, that's what our church believes. And that's what our preacher believes. Well, what do you believe? Well, I believe what they believe. What do they believe? They believe what I believe. Come on. We need to all be solid Christians. We need to get in the book ourselves. Amen? I got to move on. Let me give you the third thing. Would you turn to John chapter number 13? John chapter number 13. Once I start to hear people's stomachs, I'm done. By the way, I think I'm actually hearing my own. So now, would you look at John chapter number 13? I'm just saying, the Lord Jesus said, hey, my disciples are a sacrificial people. My disciples are a biblical people. And you know, it takes work to get in the book. It really does. Amen. But number three, I got to give you this. Number three, the Lord Jesus describes his disciples, get this, as a merciful people. His disciples, a merciful people. Look at John 13. Would you look with me, please, in verse 34 and 35. John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment, Jesus said, I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. Verse 35, by this. By what? By loving one another as Christ loved us. By this shall all men know that you are what? My disciples, if you have love one to another. See, his followers are a merciful people. Loving, forgiving. That makes us look strange to the world, but it magnifies God. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. When you're not retaliating and doing like the world does, getting even, they see you're different. Amen? If we love like him, we look like him. Listen, we should love everybody, but the thrust of the text is really loving one another. Jesus in John 13 is about ready to leave the disciples. He's getting ready to go to the cross. He's going to leave the disciples. They're going to be by themselves like children without parents at home. They're going to be by themselves. It's time to love one another. Why do we have to love one another? Why is that the thrust? Because we're around one another more often. When you're going to be living among each other, we're all going to tread on somebody's toes. I probably tread on several people's toes today. Please love me. You can't live with people and not have problems. I got two teenage boys. I had a full head of hair before they became teenagers. I pulled this out. You can't live among people without getting problems and issues. And the Lord Jesus said, look, you're going to have to live with each other. Man, the world, you ain't got the world no more. You're called out from, you need each other. Learn to love one another as I have loved you. Love one another. And when the world sees us loving one another, it's going to make a difference. They're going to realize they're His disciples. They're His followers. Amen. A good church is a church where people love one another. I can't get into it, but Romans 12, 17 to 21. Don't try to get even with each other. Learn to love one another. Learn to put up with one another. Forgive one another. Amen. Overcome evil with good. Amen. That's the key to staying united and so on. The devil's always trying to divide. Amen. I got to give you the fourth thing and I got to quit. Turn to John 15, please. John chapter number 15. Each point could be a sermon, but it won't be, not this morning. Amen. John chapter 14. I'm sorry, 15. John 15. We're just looking at where Jesus said, my disciples. My disciples are a sacrificial people. My disciples are a biblical people. My disciples are a merciful people. And then I think number four, not only is it a description, but I think it's a conclusion of His disciples. I think if we are a sacrificial people, if we are a biblical people, if we are a merciful people, then number four, Jesus describes His disciples as a fruitful people. A fruitful people. You see, if I am these other things as a disciple, it's only going to lead to the fact that I will be a fruitful disciple. Look at John 15. Look at verse number 1. John 15, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Look at verse number 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Get the last statement. So shall you be my disciples. In the context of this John 15, I believe it's got to do with making a difference in the lives of others. Because he says in verse 16, go that you may bear fruit. And I think he's talking about in the context of making a difference in the lives of others. That this is what we would call external fruit. The external fruit of a good Christian is he actually wins people to the Lord and he also helps people in the Lord. He's making a difference in the lives of others. We find fruit in the Bible and making a difference in the lives of others. That's external fruit. But that's the result of the internal fruit, which is Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit. When I'm the disciple I ought to be, I'll be a person who has the fruit of the Spirit in my life. There's a difference being made in me, therefore there can be a difference made from me. The Christian life, from beginning to end, is all about following Him. One of the first things Jesus said to Peter, Matthew 4, follow me. One of the final things Jesus said to Peter in John 21, 18, follow me. The first time we call it Peter's commission. The second time in John we call it Peter's recommission. What happened between his commission and his recommission? What happens to a lot of us? Comes a time that things happen. Maybe we deny the Lord or even know Him. We stop following Him. Amen? I've been there. Got saved as a young man, as a teenager, went away, but then got right again. The encouragement to me is this. What Jesus said to Peter in the beginning, although he messed up, that's still what he's got to say today. On track, follow me. Follow me. Amen? In 1 Samuel 12, 20, Samuel said to the nation, you have done all these wicked things, yet don't stop following the Lord. Get back on track. Maybe today The Lord Jesus is not initially saying, hey, you've just been saved not long. Get on board, man. Just start following the Lord. Maybe you've been one who, man, you followed the Lord closer than you do now. Maybe now he's saying, hey, let's get back on track. Let's follow him again. Thank God for forgiveness. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Paul said, forget what's behind you and let's go on forward. Amen? Wherever you're at, whatever's going on, may today be a day of either commissioning or recommissioning. Let's get back on track. Start following the Lord again. Amen? Let's pray. If you would please. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the preacher and his wife and family. Lord, touch him and heal him. Raise him up. But I pray now that your spirit might move in a mighty way. If somebody needs to be saved, may they realize Jesus paid it all. Those of us who one time were walking with thee but are not, oh, may it be a recommission day. May we, like Peter, realize we're forgiven. We can get back on track. Or maybe for those who have never really got going, may today be the day. We started up. Bless, I pray, the invitation in Jesus' precious name. Amen.